A very good afternoon. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Chaf Vav, Ksubas 26b, pagination is 52. About midway on the page, at the beginning of a line, Masnisin Einu Mishnah. Ha'isha Shenech V'sha B'yad Ovdei Kochavim. A woman that was captured in the hands of non-Jews, described here, Ovdei Kochavim, wild people. Ayidei Mamon, if she was captured regarding money, Mutaris Labailo, she will be permitted afterwards to her husband, because the assumption, regardless of whether the husband is a Kohen or a Yisrael, the assumption is that there were no relations that took place, because they want to get their money and they don't want damaged merchandise. And therefore they respected her and did not force her into anything. However, Ayidei Nefashos, if it had to do with a death threat, Asura Labaila shall be forbidden to her husband after this incident. Says Rashi, Dehoil v'noagin bahefker, since it's a free-for-all, we're worried that she willingly had relations with one of them. We understand that if that's the concern, that it's going to apply equally both to the wife of a Kohen and to the wife of a Yisrael. Remember the rule that by a Kohen, if she's violated, even against her will, she's still going to be defiled, so to speak, and not permitted to return to the Kohen husband. If it's a regular Yisrael husband, so then only if she went willingly into the act will she be forbidden to her husband. If, however, she was assaulted and did not agree, then she will be permitted to her husband. So we have two rules here. One is that if she's captured for money, she's going to be permitted because they respect her. And the other rule, if it's nefashos, if it's a death threat, then she's forbidden to the husband because we're worried that she acted, at least in one incident, willingly to the relations. I'd like to discuss, in the time that we have today, a far more extreme case of nefashos, of a death threat. But because it's so extreme, the rabbi who got the question was able to rule leniently. I'm referring to a tshuva in Mima'amakim, Volume 1, Tshuva Chaf Zayin 27, in which Rav Oshri describes a case during the Holocaust where a number of women were captured by the Nazis, and they were actually tattooed as being designated for ill repute. And Rav Oshri delves to try to identify what type of status does a woman in such a case have. And he invokes the classic words of the Rambam, who writes that even if the woman didn't scream during an assault, but the reason that she didn't scream was because her life was being threatened, that is indeed considered against her will. And quite simply, screaming wouldn't help her. It actually would endanger her. That doesn't mean that she was nev'eles l'ratzon, that she was willing. On the contrary, it remains an anusa against her will. Furthermore, he writes that after these women saw the butchery of the Nazis and the type of behavior that they were involved with, it's unlikely that they would do such a thing beratzon, willingly. And additionally, because they were tattooed for such purposes, they recognized that Ritzui wouldn't help. Doing such an act willingly wasn't going to help them. It's a foregone conclusion that this is their destiny as long as the Nazi regime remains in force. And because they were designated permanently, Rachmana Litzlan, in such a case, it actually works to their advantage that it's impossible that it would be beritzui, willingly, because there's nothing to be gained. He writes, except for, of course, if the husband is a Kohen, and we have a whole different problem, but because it's such an extreme case, it's a case of nefashos, of a death threat, of danger, but it's not a case where Ratzon would have helped her, and therefore we're not concerned that there might have been Ratzon. He concludes the tshuva by writing that she has no obligation to remove the tattoo that's on her skin. He actually goes so far as to say that he recommends that she retain it, because in retrospect, it's a badge of honor. However, he describes the wording in order to speak emotionally about this tragic period, but the fact is he paskins that he doesn't see a need to remove the tattoo. We have similar tshuvas, particularly by men who were tattooed in such a way that when they put tefillin on, the tattoo would show. And the question, do they have an obligation or is it proper for them to remove the tattoo? The most notable comment about tattoos from this era was the comment of the Satmar Rebbe when he said that if you see a Jew who's tattooed from that era with numbers, and you see that he's putting on tefillin on top of the numbers, go ask him for a bracha. Because such a Jew, if he went through the horrors, and now he puts on tefillin, is an extremely great person with great merit. Again, going back to the Mishnah is talking in very conventional terms. If she was captured because of money-related issues versus related to a death threat. But in Rav Oshri's case, because the threat to life was so extreme, he assumes that there was nothing to be gained by Ritzui, and it's unlikely that there would be any such acquiescence. And therefore, the general environment of threat is sufficient to classify it as a case of ones, of forcible assault. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.